Dad's on the air. We're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia and on the Community Radio Network. We aim to bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood and masculinity. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill, and hi, everyone.
Our guest today is coming to us from San Diego, California. Bill Eddy is a qualified attorney, mediator, and a clinical social worker, and he is an international expert on managing disputes involving high-conflict personality disorders. He's the president of the High Conflict Institute and the co-author with Randy Krieger of a book called Splitting. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm glad to be on.
So, Bill, in reading your book, you make a comment early, and I can quite identify with this, where you say that when you're with your clients, they sometimes say to you, oh, you know my wife, do you?
Well, it's so predictable. There's the patterns of behavior that we see are really not that different. It's kind of a narrow range of predictable problems, and that's what we try to tell people that so they're not surprised. But no, I haven't met most people's wives or their former wives, etc.
And you mentioned this. How common is the incidence of these personality disorders in the community, do you think?
Well, it's a very good question. There's a big study done in the United States about 10 years ago of personality disorders, and they come up with about 15% of the United States population meets the criteria, the factors for a personality disorder. And what's interesting is when I've been in Australia, I've told people about that and I've asked what they think there, and they think that you're not all that different, that in modern society it just seems to be part of the package that we have a certain percent of people with personality disorders. And they catch everybody by surprise because they look kind of normal, but then 6 months later you go, oh my goodness, what did I get into?
Yes, I suspect it's the same sort of preponderance in Australia, but well, perhaps you could tell us what you mean by a personality disorder.
Well, a personality disorder is a mental health diagnosis, and it's actually one of the diagnoses listed in the main diagnostic manual for mental disorders that's published by the American Psychiatric Association, which is kind of the manual used around the world for identifying mental disorders. And it's a different category. People are used to hearing about depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, substance abuse disorder, those kinds of familiar things. But personality disorders are a more hidden type of mental health problem, so that anybody of any intelligence, any occupation, et cetera, some percent of people have this. And the main three problems with personality disorders are, first of all, people don't realize they have a problem, and they don't realize how they create their problems in their own life. Secondly, they don't change. They don't adapt to new situations. They just keep doing the same thing over and over again, kind of a narrow range of behavior. And the third thing is they think the problems in their life are caused by other people or other forces. And so they are often looking to understand who that is, or to blame who that is, or to eliminate who that is, so that they think their problems are solved by other people doing something, not by themselves. So we call it externalizing. They see their problems as external to them when they really are part of what they're doing.
The main disorders I think you deal with in your book are the narcissistic problem and also the borderline personality disorders. Perhaps you could tell us how they might identify themselves.
Well, those two personalities seem to be the ones we see the most in high-conflict divorce and custody cases. The symptoms for borderline personality disorder that stand out the most are extreme mood swings. So you get someone who's very loving and friendly, you know, just really wonderful, and then 2 minutes later, they might be in a rage at you and angry, and how could you say that, and how could you feel that, and how could you think that, they say. So people are caught by surprise because they have this wide mood swings, but they have sudden and intense anger and a hard time managing their anger. So they may say all kinds of terrible things, and then 2 minutes later, they may regret that. And so it's these wide mood swings and intense anger that's particularly what we notice about borderlines. But they also can carry blame quite a long ways. They may seek revenge. They go to court to kind of get revenge and maybe to be vindicated that they're really perfect and the other person's terrible. And that's another characteristic, that they see people in all or nothing terms, all good one day and all bad the next. But if you're in a high conflict separation or divorce, after a while you just get the all bad part. So that's borderline personality disorder and some of the common characteristics. Narcissistic personality disorder seems to have a real preoccupation with themselves, self-centered. They see themselves as superior to everybody else. They feel entitled to special treatment. They're very offended when people don't think they're superior. They're often insulting, putting people down, demeaning, etc., in the way they behave. And this is very hard to be around. Both these personalities can be very hard to be around part of the time, but especially at the beginning of a relationship, they can be very charming. And like I said, it can be intelligent, attractive. That has nothing to do with the personality issue. It's what's hidden underneath, but eventually comes out sooner or later. So that's kind of a nutshell version of those two personalities.
And Bill, we're speaking with Bill Eddy from San Diego, California.
Yes.
Bill, you're familiar with the Australian system. You've been out here a number of times. Would you say that that the Australian adversarial court system then has advantages for people with these personality disorders?
I don't think it's that different there from the United States, in that the adversarial court process is generally structured to make fast decisions. And so, since as I described the personalities, because a lot of this is hidden, a judge can't figure it out in a short period of time. And often, someone with a personality disorder is much more aggressive and trying to prove how terrible the other person is, and they come on strong with all of that. And so it really can be misleading to someone who doesn't have much time to figure out what's going on. So I don't think there's really that much difference between the countries on this, as much as a symptom of the adversarial process being very fast and tending to pay more attention to blaming behavior. In some cases, the first person to cry abuse is favored because the courts want to protect people from abuse, but aren't good at figuring out who really is abusing whom. So I think that's the problem that you face as well as we do here. One of the differences, I think, in Australia is I think your national level is trying to make more efforts to help families stay outside of the adversarial system. The United States, I think, is a little behind Australia in some of those efforts, but we are looking at when can we use mediation and counseling and other methods to try to help people stay away from that adversarial process, which often also makes people with personality disorders act worse and worse because it just escalates their behavior many ways.
We might take a short break here. So, Bill, you've picked a song for the intermediate part of the interview?
Well, I picked the Rolling Stones song, You Can't Always Get What You Want. Although if you try real hard, sometimes you get what you need.
Great. Well, this is the Rolling Stones playing You Can't Always Get What You Want.
A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, well, you might find.
And welcome back to our special guest today, Bill Eddy, and we're talking about his new book called Splitting. Now, our other date here, Ken Thompson, has a few things I'm sure he wants to ask you, Bill.
Hi, Bill. You raised the point about people with these types of disorders frequently resorting to making all kinds of allegations against the other person to try to get what they want. How do you protect yourself against those types of allegations?
Well, I think, and we write about in the book, Splitting, is really be prepared for that possibility. by a few things. Avoid doing anything that's going to lead to, for example, a physical confrontation. So if you're in the worst case scenarios, let's say you're dealing with someone who wants to get a restraining order against you. And so I had a client go through this once. His wife was holding his papers behind her and taunting him to try to get the papers from her. And he did. And in the process, she knocked herself against a file cabinet and then fell on the floor and claimed that he assaulted her, and she went to court and got a restraining order against him based on this physical assault. So it's very important to be careful not to get into a situation like that. If someone's holding something you want or a paper or something, don't be aggressive in that manner that you could then be claimed to have made an assault. So on the one hand is don't do things that give the other person ammunition like that. But the other is to write down what's happened. So at the end of the day, if there was an incident that you think might be used against you, write down what really happened. So if someone claims you did this and you did that 3 months later, you have a record of what you did actually do and what you actually said, what the other person did, what they said. It also helps in terms of children to keep a record of things that you do for the child, because sometimes people say, well, you never took the child to the doctor, you never went to a teacher's meeting, you never did this, never did that. So you have a record and can say, well, on Thursday, January 7th, I went to a parent-teacher meeting, and on Friday, January 30th, I took our child to the doctor's office. So it's really prevent problems, but also write down what does occur. So if you have to, you can say, I wrote this down on the day it happened, and this is what I wrote, and I believe that that's exactly, you know, what the truth is. So if you ever have to testify about it or write a report, you've got accurate information. Because typically people with personality disorders, and by the way, there's a range. Some people have traits but not a full disorder. But it's not unusual that they distort information, and they may honestly believe that you never did something or you always did something. So keeping a good written record can help and protect you also.
Yeah, it's very good advice. I guess most of us don't go through our lives thinking that this type of thing is going to happen to us. And as you pointed out before, when you first meet these people, they seem quite normal and they're quite charming. And it's only when often, you know, quite some way into a relationship when things start to go wrong. So I guess it's a whole shift in mindset for people to start thinking about perhaps keeping a diary about what they do with their children just in case. That leads me to another question. At some point, perhaps in a family court process, a parent may be diagnosed with one of the disorders that we've been talking about. And it then comes down to perhaps the other parent to explain that disorder to the children. Do you have any advice for about how parents should go about doing that?
Well, a couple things here. First of all, I want to mention that in a lot of courts, they don't want to hear people talking about personality disorders, so it's better to present information about their pattern of behavior. So give examples of mood swings, give examples of sudden anger, give examples of narcissistic statements to the children or something, without saying they have a narcissistic personality or borderline personality. So that's one thing in terms of the court. Now, in terms of talking to your children, a lot of times professionals tell people don't badmouth the other parent, don't talk negative about the other parent, and then people go, but wait a minute, the other parent's talking negative about me. I should have a chance to explain what's happening. So here's what seems to be the best solution, is to start early on, or when you become aware of this, is start teaching your child what we call the four big skills for life: flexible thinking, managed emotions, moderate behavior, and checking yourself, looking at yourself, what am I doing, rather than blaming others. If you teach your child this in a routine, matter-of-fact way, like you see somebody on TV and you say to your child, what do you think? Were they managing their emotions very well there? Yeah, not really. Or let's use our flexible thinking to solve this problem today. So if they learn those as general principles for life, then if the other parent has unmanaged emotions and extreme all-or-nothing thinking, you can say, remember, we're going to try not to use that kind of approach. So that way you can talk about behavior without being seen as bad-mouthing the other parent, and that way your child doesn't tell the other parent, oh, you know what Dad said about you? He said that such and such. Instead, you can just say, you know, Dad's talking about flexible thinking, and that's what I'm learning, and I like that, because you have to have flexible thinking to get ahead in life these days. So I think those are a couple things in terms of don't really talk about the diagnosis in court, don't really talk about it to the kids, but talk about behaviors and the kind of behavior we do wish we have with the kids.
All excellent advice, and all in this in Bill Eddy's book, Splitting, which we'll tell you how to get in a minute. Bill, just we've got one question I'm dying to ask you is, in Australia you mentioned the quick justice, and so the decision is often left to a family reporter to do a report. How easy is it for a family reporter to pick up these personality disorders that we've been talking about in, say, you know, they usually only have an hour or a couple of hours?
It really depends a lot on what their training is, what their background is, and in a way what their temperament is they really need to have an open mind, but they also need to know what they're looking for. So if they're aware of personality disorders, which they should be nowadays, and aware that they often act in superficially positive ways, but under the surface they may be abusive, they may be very negative in what they're saying, etc. I think it depends a lot on that training and temperament. That's also why it's so important for parents to communicate what the problems are. And so if you don't raise it, someone's not going to necessarily ask you, well, does the other parent have mood swings? Or is the other parent so self-absorbed that they lost track of the children sometimes?
Yes, and for that, we'd recommend that you go to Bill's book. Bill, could you perhaps tell us where you can get your book, Splitting?
Well, you can get it a lot of places. The first place I always encourage is our website, highconflictinstitute.com. And that's spelled out H-I-G-H, Conflict Institute, one long word, .com. And so you can get it through us. We link to our publications. Unhooked Books is what our publication service is called. You can also get it from New Harbinger Press, which is the actual publisher of this. And it's also available on Amazon as an e-book.
Oh, yes.
So it's pretty easy to get.
Yes, so don't forget that that website. Can you just repeat it for us one more time, Bill?
Sure. It's www.highconflictinstitute.com. And I might mention we have a lot of free articles on the website as well. Is just click on the menu bar where it says articles. And there's about 40 articles there that relate to divorce, custody, parenting, etc., including the thing I was just describing about teaching your child the four big skills. We have an article with that, is what to tell your child about a high-conflict co-parent.
Yes, so that's a great resource for everyone. Now, Bill, could you tell us briefly, you've picked a song for us to go out on. Could you tell us which song and why you picked it?
Well, basically, this is the Sting song, Fields of Gold, and I think it's kind of the other side of what I started with the Rolling Stones talking about, you can't always get what you want, is the Sting song really, first of all, I love the sound of it. It's a beautiful song, but it also has a beautiful image, being outdoors, of good times, of good love affairs, of children, of being happy. And I think it's important for people to have hope and know that happiness may be around the corner, even if you're going through a breakup or a difficult high-conflict separation or divorce, is that there is hope and there's a future. And in many ways, this is all about the kids. We want the kids to grow up as happy and healthy as possible and protect them from conflict while teaching them big skills for life.
Well, we'll be listening to Sting singing Fields of Gold. And Bill, thank you very much for being on the program. It's been fascinating, and we wish you all the very best.
Well, thank you very much. It's been my pleasure to be on your program.
That was Sting playing Fields of Gold. Don't forget, we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email telling us where you heard the show, and we'll be in touch. So if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and we'll see you again next week. So it's bye from Dads on the Air.